Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Well, it's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up, what's up, and welcome to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And you know, when the markets get crazy and things are going bad, I gotta call my favorite, my friend Angie Miles from CBOE TV, and of course her new show on the Russell every Friday. What's up, Angie?
Oh, this is your time to shine. You have been calling for this big correction, and wow, you nailed it. I just have to say, you nailed it.
Well, you know, look, and I don't necessarily like what's going on with the economy. You know, look, I would love it to be perfect and wonderful and not have problems. But, you know, the problems were pretty easy to spot when you look at growth and certain things, right? I mean, you know, you're a woman of the people, or a person of the people. You're out there all the time. You know, a lot of the people are not doing as well as that everybody would like us to believe. Would you agree with that?
I do not agree with that.
Okay.
I agree with some parts of the economy are still sluggish. I do see some growth out there, though, and I'm not disheartened by the economy, actually. I wish it was stronger, but I think that there's still growth there. And as long as we're still showing more than 200,000 jobs added to payrolls every month, and you have companies like Chipotle saying we're going to do this big hiring spree, I think we are going to be just fine. But I think the market issue is something that we have talked about in the past. And this is just something that had to happen. The market was like a rocket ship going higher. And as you know, and you've talked about in your show, and you've warned your listeners many times, it was very Fed-induced because bonds were down. There was no place to put your money to see any kind of growth. So money was just flowing like crazy into the stock market. So there was some overinflation happening in the stock market. And at some point, when the Fed fears of the Fed actually beginning to raise rates came into the market, that's when everybody had to readjust. And you had some people on margin, right, who had to readjust as well. So that's why you saw people hit the panic button.
And
this is a transition we have to get through. And China slowed down. I'll give you that. I don't think it's a grinding halt in China based on comments that we heard on CNBC with that memo or whatever, email to Jim Cramer talking about Tim Cook saying that they still saw some strong sales in China on, you know, iPhone and other sales over there, which is really grown. And you know that Apple is a huge, huge player in the stock market. But boy, what some wild swings. Can we just talk about some of these individual stocks?
We can do whatever you want because you are the ray of sunshine in my day.
This market, there's so much to talk about.
There's
so much to talk about. Really, I mean, these stocks, people who were buying at the open early in the week were rewarded very handsomely because they were buying Apple at 92, shot up to 103, GE 22, shot up to 24, American Express, another stock that just, you know, all of a sudden moved. But I have to tell you, I talked to some traders, and one of them actually said, this market is just silly. So I don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I've never seen a market quite like this. Have you?
No, I haven't really seen it like this, but again, they're all really the same. But I guess my question for you is,
okay,
the small guy, the small trader, because I know exactly what you're saying. And in fact, I had recommendations on Monday morning to buy. Okay, now believe it or not, I knew, look,
that was the right call.
I've been through enough of these markets to know
that was the trade.
Even if I'm right, which I think I'm right longer term, that we are going to have a much bigger correction than everybody thinks it's going to be. But in the meantime, if you're trading, there's opportunities. And of course, I thought Apple was a buy. I thought Netflix, and I hate Netflix, as you know, and I think they're severely overvalued. But I thought when they were down in the low 90s, mm-hmm, they were a buy, and
yep,
they immediately went back to like 106. Because it's funny,
yep,
on Monday, the NASDAQ actually, the QQQs, I don't know about anything else, but the QQQs actually got positive on the day. But here's my concern. Let me, and I don't know if you heard this, because you deal with more of the professional guys that are down on the floor and they don't have these problems. Right. But do you remember the old SOES system, S-O-E-S, you know, the simple execution system for smaller traders? It may be before your time. Well, it was actually what it was built on, what day traders were starting to do. But in the long time, in the meantime, the whole system failed on Monday because you couldn't get in. You couldn't get in. You couldn't push the buttons to buy because they wouldn't accept the orders. And that, to me, is a bigger problem.
I know what you mean.
And that, I find, is a bigger problem because, you know, they wiped out all of the floor traders, which I was never a favorite of anyways, because, again, technology is great and it should be great. But you know what? When you have financial markets, just like in airplanes, right? Airplanes have pilots. They don't need the pilots to fly. They could do everything automated, but they put pilots in there just in case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there should be traders to provide liquidity just in case, because at the end of the day, the system failed the smaller trader, because guys that were smart that wanted to get in couldn't get in and execute their trades. And I feel that's a shame, because the little guy always gets it stuck to him a little bit, right? And I think
that's
it's a shame.
Exactly what I'm saying. There was something going on. There was something going on, and the bid-ask spreads were so wide you could drive a Mack truck through them. But yet, you know, you had these stocks suddenly turning. Oh, KKD was another one. KKR, rather. And it's just, I mean, there was just some strange things going on in the market. I'm not saying there was something sinister, but I just felt, something felt uneasy about the market. I don't know. Am I wrong?
No, well, I think there is something sinister. And I think one of the biggest problems is that money managers come on and they really talk their book. Okay, and I'm not going to ask you to comment on that because I would never do that, but I'll say it. But
okay, thank you.
Well, I don't want, you know, listen, I don't put people in positions that are uncomfortable, and I would think that would be uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's a shame, because you have opinions. Now, when I go on, you know, I mean, I've been on your show a number of times, and I always say, look, this is my opinion, and this is what I'm going to do. I'm not telling you to do the same thing. This is how I see the markets. And I wish the people that would go on would talk more like that, not like at large, and everybody should just be buying or everybody should just be selling the market, because I don't think that's right for anybody at any time. I think that people need to be educated on their own thing and do their own thing. Don't you agree with that?
Absolutely. And there is a time for sitting on your hands and just watching the action from the sidelines, or taking your summer vacation, because I was pretty nervous for some people who were coming in. Now, Apple happens to be a stock that there tends to be liquidity, and that I noticed it did have some retail paper coming in and buying some calls in the weeklies, which was actually not the worst thing, because, you know, it's a 1 week, it's a short-term trade. That's great. Don't get involved when you have this long time horizon, and who knows where we're going to be a month from now or 2 months from now. So, you know, I think that it shorter was better. At the money, calls and puts in the options market, fine. It's just not a time to get crazy about anything. I'm really impressed with these volume numbers, though, that are coming in. Considering it's August, this is a time when most people should be away from trading desks. And that tells me people are coming back into offices, and there's probably a bit of, you know, high-frequency trading that's going on.
Yeah, well, I think that, but on Monday, right, a lot of the high-frequency traders got shut down because they have to, when markets go to certain levels, they have to shut, you know. So it was interesting that, but you're right, and I know exactly.
That's right, they did. They took that out to try to ease on the volatility. You're right.
But you're 100% correct.
There were little things happening. I don't know, a lot of cross currents, too many, really.
Now, are you concerned? I know you're bullish long-term. And I'm bullish long-term, too. I am.
Mm-hmm.
I freely admit that the markets go up, you know, 9% year over year. They just don't go up every year. And as an investor, well, you know, we're going to pick this up when we come back from the break, because we're coming up to it. I am with my friend, Angie Miles, CBOE-TV, one of the smartest people I know. And she also has her new show on Fridays about the Russell. And she'll tell us about it when we come back from the break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to step out of a break, and we're going to come back with our good friend, Angie Miles. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's the time of Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Angie Miles from CBOE-TV and the Russell Report, seen Fridays. So, Angie, you know, we were talking a little bit before we went to break, and you were going to film me, and you were going to say, go ahead.
Well, traders last Friday were telling me it was time to maybe buy some put spreads in the Russell. That was a great trade because we did see the Russell break some key support levels, as you know. We were looking at 1,115. The next step down, I believe, is 1,015 in the Russell. But Friday's action was interesting, actually, because at the close of the session, there were people coming back in and starting to buy RUT, and the Russell on Friday did not land down as hard as the rest of the market. So that tells me people were willing to still buy America because the Russell is made up of American stocks. And at some point, cooler heads have to prevail and say, hey, the Russell really doesn't have that much to do with China.
I guess
it has more to do, the majority of revenues are coming from United States companies.
I guess those guys who believe in America changed their mind on Monday, though. And I get it. I'm with you.
They changed their mind. Yep, it did. It got hit hard.
I'm with you. And I said, believe it or not, I said the exact same thing to my partner. I go, something doesn't add up here. I go, why is the Russell only down a teeny bit compared to the market was down 500? In fact, even on Monday, the Russell early was not down. You know, the first move, everything was down. It was the baby with the bathwater. But after we made the move back, the Russell was the first to really make a big move back towards the flat line. And it looked like at one point that Monday might actually turn out to be a positive day before late in the day selling came in. And, of course, this is going to be, I think the good news is, and this is something that I think you'll appreciate, is Angie is a bull. I'm a bear because I'm an ex-trader, which makes you naturally bear because when you're making liquidity and you're providing a market, you're typically a seller because you're selling into paper. But that's a long story for another day. But overall, long-term, I'm also a bull. I mean, again, I own long-term equities. But don't you think that when we get volatile like this, that actually people that want to trade should embrace this opportunity because this is the kind of trading that you're looking for if you're a trader. You get these wild swings in markets. What do you say?
Oh, I say, hands down, 100%, yes. I was getting text messages and phone calls from traders telling me about their trades and the profits that they were making, sometimes for their clients, of course, because there was a trade. Traders on Friday, last Friday, were smiling. I mean, they were happy. They were thrilled. There was so much going on the trading floor once again. Volatility was rocketing, lots of quotes going through the options exchange. It's not a time where traders are panicking. It's a time when traders are keeping their heads down, the pro guys, and trading. And I think that the rest of America, of course, is like, oh my gosh, my 401k is just getting killed. But at the same time, there are people making a lot of money on what's going down in the market right now. One thing I'm not seeing, and I wanted to talk to you about this, is I'm not seeing panic buying in gold. What do you think about that?
I believe that the global meltdown of commodities is a much bigger problem than even where we can even think about right now.
And the copper, the oil.
Copper, oil, gold. Silver, the grains. I mean, you know, everything across the board. You know, everybody seems to forget that everything is kind of related to everything else. And, you know, we talk about, you know, how great it is to have cheap oil. But when cheap oil means we're not doing production, there's a whole bunch of things that tie in together. And to me, that's a very big concern. And again, I am not a gold guy, right? I mean, I own gold, and I believe in owning it as a hard asset. But think about it this way. Gold is not a currency, right? I mean, we've been off the gold standard for 35 years. It's not a currency. And what are you going to do with it? I mean, if you really wanted something as a currency, silver is actually better because silver hasn't performed at all either, but silver is actually better because, first of all, it's a smaller denominated piece of equipment where, if you had a 100-ounce bar of gold, who's going to have change for, you know, $220,000, right? So
exactly, yeah, right.
So I don't look at gold
down on the street and try to sell it. Good luck.
I don't look at gold as a fair trade. I think that gold is acting like the rest of the commodities.
But still, there wasn't even money rushing to the dollar, and that is the ultimate panic money place.
True. As the motto of the Bubba Show is, when the world's in trouble, they go to three places: the U.S. dollar, the U.S. Treasury market, and the U.S. Marine Corps. And there you have it. That's the. And
there you go. I like that.
And we didn't see. And the funny thing is that the bonds actually collapsed a little bit too after they were up over 3 points on Monday as well. So it's a kind of a weird story. But you know, I think one of the biggest problems, and this is where I want to bring you in, is you are right on the floor. You're in with the traders, but you're also a long-term investor. Don't you think that the long-termers, the investors, spend too much time looking at their iPhones and their portfolios when it's really not that important?
I do. I used to work next to a gentleman, great guy, but he was always checking and always readjusting. And I would love to know if that worked for him in the end. I'm not a big believer in that, but some people do it. If it works for you, great. I just, you know, you own what you own, and if you like what you own, you just hold on to it and buy something new and different and make sure you're diversified. Yes. But I think, you know, to overanalyze it and look at it too much is just asking for another sleepless night.
I agree 100% with that because, again, first of all, nobody can time the market to a time. We both know that.
No, I mean, that's a very dangerous game. I know there used to be people who put out newsletters and they were market timers, and that's great. If it works for you, do it. But I just, it's too tricky for me. You know, there's people who play the sun and the moon, too. So,
listen,
there you go.
You can never time the market. I mean, it's just the way that it goes. I mean, you know, nobody knows.
Yeah, who saw this coming in August of 2015?
Actually, I did see this coming.
Well, you kind of did.
I did see this coming, and I saw it coming sooner than later. It was getting easier to call. But again, I couldn't time it. I mean, it took me a lot of energy to be in the right spot for when this did happen. And
I still say it's just, and you were waiting because money was going to be coming out of the stock market because the Fed is going to move. Right? That was one of your promises?
Well, I think the Fed is going to do nothing. I'm a big anti-Fed guy, too, and I won't get into that conversation with you as well because I just don't believe in what they do, and I don't think they know what they're doing. But, you know, again, they're not going to raise. We're not going to see rates raise. I got news for you. How's this? QE4 is on the way.
Whoa. Well, you said it here. It's on tape.
You know, I don't ever duck right or wrong. I'm perfectly willing to stand up because
That's
I believe
okay.
in what I
That's
say.
Good. You make your call.
Hey. You know, it is what it is. I mean, again, I believe, like I said, I believe that you got to look for, in this market, now you look for, as a trader, you look for big dips to buy into and you look for big rallies to sell into because the rallies are going to be as vicious as the sell-offs now. That's the beauty of being in this kind of market now. What do you think?
I think traders are just waiting for that rip your face off day. Absolutely do.
See, you talk trader.
The market can move.
You talk trader lingo, rip your face off rally, right? See, there you go. Now you're talking. I know you're a trader. You're a trader deep in your heart.
I've been around. I am, and somewhere in my soul, I think I was like, I don't know, maybe born to trade at some point. Right now, I just like reporting on the market, and you know, again, trading floor, trader thrills on a lot of levels because there really is just so much action, and you guys are really adrenaline junkies at the end of the day.
And that's true.
You love it.
That's true, but I also like to go out and play golf with a big position.
You'd be bored otherwise.
No,
right?
I like to go out and play golf with a big position. I didn't even look at it, you know? We got about a minute left, but what's your take for the rest of the year? Is it stay whippy, or do we start to recover and get another rally? What do you think?
Oh, sure. I think you pick your spots. I think, you know, as you mentioned in your email that you put out to your listeners, there will be dead cat bounces along the way. But I think you pick your spots. You put your orders in for where you're comfortable owning stock, or maybe you're doing some put selling where you're comfortable having stocks at lower levels. You know, I think you just have to pick your strategy, basically, and do your homework and define your risk.
See,
and that's very carefully.
That's why Angie Miles is a star on CBOE TV and the Russell Report, because she just tells it like it is. We don't agree on everything, but she's always straight. She says what she believes, and I give you all the credit in the world. I think that you do a great job on CBOE TV, and I think you do a great job on the Russell Report. And I mean, again, you know, you commented to me Monday. I sent out that notice to everybody, just, you know, tell them not to panic. And you kind of came back and said it was a good message, because that really, you know, one thing for sure, right? You never make a good decision when you're emotional. Would you agree with that?
I 100% agree with it. Yes, absolutely. Not the time, you know, what is it? HALT, halt. Never make a decision when you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, ever. just don't.
And that is right. And this is my friend, Angie Miles. Angie, you are always awesome to have on. And again, We don't always agree.
I love it because you make a market with me because we have differing views, so that's great.
Well, that's what they call price discovery, baby.
I do.
Right? It's price discovery. That's what makes a market. You're a bull, I'm a bear, and we figure it out, but it's somehow we can both manage to make money in the same market. So one of them. This has been Angie Miles from CBOE-TV, the Russell Report on Fridays. She is awesome. Thank you so much, dear. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here right after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
We must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists. We must never let the weight of this combination endanger our liberties or democratic process.
The War State by Michael Swanson is a must-read for anyone interested in the critical 20 years after World War II, when the United States morphed from a constitutional republic to a global imperial superpower. Get The War State by Michael Swanson from Amazon.com today.
Hey y'all, Scott here. So you made a little bit of money in this horrid economy only to find that the Fed has more or less outlawed saving. So into the treacherous waters of the stock market bubble you go. But how to make a little money without too much risk of losing it all? Check out WallStreetWindow.com. Mike Swanson is a successful former hedge fund manager who opens a very real window into his main account, updating his subscribers on the facts of and the reasoning behind all his market moves. Follow along on paper or with real money and see what happens at WallStreetWindow.com.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And wow, what a crazy, crazy week. You know, I tell you, we talked to Angie. And now what I wanted to share with you is some of the things I said during the collapse, because I do believe the markets are headed much lower. But I think you'll find some interesting things that we talked about with Michael Hainsworth on BNN and on some of the commodity spaces. So let's go right to Michael Hainsworth over at BNN in Canada. Here we go.
Tech space, but specific types of tech, biotech. We saw Microsoft down by 2.7% as well. Gilead had a fairly good go of it on some optimism in that space that there'd be some M&A activity, up by $1.90 to $102.56. But Apple, number one with a 103.74 handle, gained 62 cents today. That contributed to the NASDAQ Composite Index and the Dow Jones Industrial Average, quite frankly, but both of them slipped negative. Down 19 points, 205-point discount to 15,665. You know who I'm going to blame for this? Guy in Chicago, chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com, Todd Horowitz. What are you doing to me here?
That's because I'm a seller. I told you, sell, sell, sell. Sell, Wilson, sell. Hi, Michael. You know, it's funny because, you know, Apple was at 111. It opened at 111.11 this morning, and Gilead was trading about 108 before they broke out. But, you know, again, it really looked more like a dead cat bounce. When you look at the overall picture, we've been down 6 out of the last 7 days, or 5 out of 6 coming in. You get a dead cat bounce after a great day yesterday. Typically, those are meant to be sold into. I think the fire got fueled a little bit later. I think there were some rumors out of China. I'm not really sure. I haven't heard them yet, but I think there were some rumors about something going on with their government. Who knows? But at the bottom line, that helped accelerate the selling. But the markets basically opened up almost on their top tick, and all day long, they just kind of worked their way lower. And really what happens at the end of the day is people go, we're not going up. I'm getting out, and the sellers come in and sell. And I think that's what you can look forward to see here is more selling pressure. I think the markets are really on the ropes now. I think there's a lot of trouble, and I think not only are we in correction territory now, but I don't think it'll be long before we'll be in bear market territory.
Well, where's the bottom, and what's the point at which we decide that we've gone as far as we need to fall?
Well, I think the bottom is significantly away from here. I actually think I'm looking at it one level at a time, but my big level that I'm waiting for would be about 1586, which is about another 18% from here.
What?
Before I would even think about buying. Let me what?
18% from here? I mean, 18%
Michael,
from here?
When you,
When you buy, listen, when you borrow, when you have an artificial economy, when you have a Fed that tries to study theory and doesn't want to act really to what the markets really need, when you have a Fed that day trades the market, you end up in a mess. And these are the unintended consequences of what the Fed action and the central banks around the world. You know, everybody's worried now about the currency wars, but nobody talks about the person who started the currency wars, which was Ben Bernanke. So when we look at the overall picture, we're seeing exactly what we deserve. You built an economy on a house of cards that had no real growth. Are we going to really talk and cheer about 200,000 jobs a month when they're 90% our minimum wage or service jobs? Of course, when you lost 50,000 jobs from Schlumberger, which was more than the 200 that you gained, that's a problem. The economy is not being stimulated. The middle class aren't spending. So without the middle class, you're going to see a continued drop in this market. And that's really the overall problem. We're not growing. We're not getting what we really need to do. And all that really is benefiting here is the banks and the Federal Reserve feeding the banks.
Now, you said that you're selling into this market, but I follow you on Twitter. I know you were buying in the energy patch today. What were you buying?
I like buying the energy patch. I think the energy patch has made, it could go lower again. Look, we all know that commodities have a tendency to go farther, but I do like energy. I like oil here. I think that oil, you know, could go to 35. Look, it might go to 32. But when I look at the model and I look at the risk reward, and if I'm going to truly believe that eventually this economy is going to turn around, that oil should be a fairly good play here. And I think it's a safer play. I think if you look at some of the beaten down names, I mean, take a look at Chesapeake as a natural gas play. Stock's down to 650. Now, again, it might go to zero, but it's a stock that's been traded up in the 20s, and now it's at six. And again, I'm not looking for it to go back to 20, but I think it's a great play. I think Halliburton has been just unmercifully beaten down into the ground. I think gold and the gold miners look very good here. I think, you know, again, these are unloved things that you would think with all the trouble in the world that gold would have rallied, because many people consider gold a currency, which I don't. I consider it a commodity, but it's a good hard asset that I think everybody should own a small portion of. And I think we've seen evidence that now gold held that 1080 level, held 1100, and it looks like it's going to hold this 1140 right in this area. And I think somewhere near you want to start to buy. I don't think you want to load up, but I think you want to start to accumulate some of these beaten down commodities, because commodities are on 17-year lows right now.
Do you want to own the underlying commodity, or do you want to own the equities? I can imagine there's a greater risk with the stocks versus the actual commodity of gold itself.
I think that, you know, certain things you want to own the physical. And gold, I like owning both. When I buy gold and I put it in my vault, I put that away, I forget about it, and I do trade the paper gold. So I think both are good. I think if you're gonna say to yourself, hey, I wanna own gold and I'm gonna put it away, then you buy the physical and you just put it away and forget about it. If you wanna trade gold, because there's two types of players, an investor and a trader, and I do both. So when I'm trading it, I'll trade the paper gold, either through GDX, some of the gold miners, or GLD, or some of the other ones I'll use. I like to trade a lot of silver. I'm a big fan of silver. I think that's a big play here as well. I think you have to look at it, and depending on what you're looking to do with it longer term, that's how you trade it. But I'm not afraid of some of the paper ones. If they're good, solid companies, I'm more than happy to get back involved, because I believe that history will show that a good, solid company that's taken under some hard times will be able to overcome when the markets turn, and they will be able to benefit.
All right, back to the markets. Before we let you go there, Bubba, let's talk about the sell-off that we saw towards the end of the day. Some saying that this was short selling and that there was really no conviction behind the buying. Is that your argument too?
I believe so. I believe it was a short covering rally, and I think that the sellers are definitely in control right now. The biggest thing we have to look at, Michael, two things, and I know you got to go, but you had the death cross in the Dow, which is, by itself is no big deal, but that's when the 50-day cross is below 200, mm-hmm. about 10 days ago. But the bigger thing is we were in the tightest consolidation range in 115 years percentage-wise. We broke to the bottom side of that. Anytime that happens, the longer you were in consolidation, the bigger the break's going to be. And that's what really, technically, from a charter standpoint, we broke to the bottom side of all the major indexes, which looks to mean that they're going to sell off quite a bit from here.
All right, Bub, good to have you with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it.
Todd Horowitz, chief strategist at BubbaTrading.com in Chicago.
And, of course, you know, as we do always talk about those things, and, you know, again, we're looking at a market that is, again, soaring higher again, but remember, when you take a look at the overall action, when you take a look at what's going on, what you have to understand is that you have a market that wants to go lower. That is an obvious play that oil wants. I mean, excuse me, the market wants to go lower because you see how fast when they decide to take profit or to get out, you see how fast they immediately run to the downside. So that would be my concern in here. And that's what I'm looking at here is what the market wants to do. I mean, it's evident that we have so many people invested in here that don't want to be in here. That is the bigger issue. So again, you can make money alongside, and this is why I always talk about hedging. See, when you if you have a hedged portfolio, you don't care where it goes. You know if it goes down, you're protected, and you can buy more because you're getting cash from your portfolio from your protected side. So although your equities are going down, so if you have $10,000 and you have a perfect hedge on, okay, and you know that's something you have to learn. But if you have a perfect hedge on, and you have $10,000 and it goes down to eight, well, your hedge most likely will be worth somewhere near around two. You know, it could be down a little bit, but again, somewhere around there. So now what you've done is your portfolio has gone down, but now you've picked up cash, and you can continue to do the hedge and then buy more into the equity. So you can buy more equities when you receive cash, which will give you a greater potential to the upside. That is what I'm trying to explain here, is that you get opportunity. And in my lifetime, this opportunity that we're presenting to you now, the Badger myself, with these private webinars, okay, that will help you defend your portfolio forever. Okay, and again, I recommend that you are hedged 100% of the time because you finance the cost out anyways by the trade, by the way we teach it. So the cost doesn't come into play. So why not have on a hedge so that you never have to worry about the downside? That's what I'm trying to get to you, and that's something that you need to email me at Bubba at thebubbashow.org, because I'll give you the details of how it works, what we're doing, and how it can benefit you. Because again, you know from being with me that we are here to help you. Okay? It's a minimal cost based on your portfolio. And we have two programs, one for the independent who has a lot of money, and some for those who don't have as much. But we have two different programs that will help you. And again, obviously, if you have a much bigger portfolio, there's more work to do. It's going to be a little bit more pricey. But they're both, in real money terms, they're both exceptionally cheap to the protection and the peace of mind that you're getting. Okay? So that is why I suggest to you now, you call me or email me at Bubba at thebubbashow.org. Go to bubbatrading.com, because again, I'm on your side. I want your portfolio protected. I want you to be having a good time and laughing when the market's going down versus sweating. So anyway, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Hortz. And go to thebubbashow.org. I'm telling you, you get great articles there. Become a member. I have some free stuff for you as you become a member, and then there's other things, but check it out. You'll have a great time. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Hortz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you, and as we come into the final dog days of the week, and of course we've had just an unbelievable wild week in the markets. I mean, down 1,000, up 1,000, here, near, there, everywhere. Everybody dying to get in, dying to get out, and at the end, nobody knows what they want to do. It's been an amazing wild week, but don't be fooled by the numbers, because again, the numbers, they called Monday Black Monday, and it wasn't even close to Black Monday. I mean, but again, it's going to be wild, and of course, if this volatility is here to stay, God bless it. It'll be great. We'll embrace it. But there are things going on. And on Wednesday, I was fortunate enough to talk to Kitco, our new partner in some things. And here I am with Daniela Cambone talking about the metals and things like that. So let's check out what we had to say there. Here we go.
Has come off its highs earlier in the week, and silver hits a six-year low this Wednesday. We have Todd Bubba Horowitz joining us from the CME today. Todd, good to see you again.
Danielle, it's great to be with you.
Well, let's pull up that gold chart. You know I'm going to ask you about it. We saw a short covering rally earlier in the week, but the metal is back down this Wednesday. Do you see potential for the move, for the metal to move higher? You know, I still have some analysts saying conditions look favorable here, and gold could still possibly hit 1,300. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, we have to look at it from a couple of different perspectives. The first thing, when you look at gold, let's look at the chart. It's clear that we had a support level at about 1080. It's clear that our first resistance on the way up was 1140. And believe it or not, our next resistance was 1170, which is exactly where we stopped. We pulled down, could not hold 1140. It looks to me like we'll probably go back to 1100. But overall, I do like the space. But what's happening here, Daniela, is that there's a whole bunch of global gobbledygook going on between the central banks, all these things are going on. So we don't have a clear path here. The way the currencies are moving back and forth, they're having a very dramatic effect right now on gold. And gold has been trading at a little slower pace than normal. It's been really under lighter volume and not really going very far. The chance of it going to 1,300, well, I think it's got an outstanding chance to go to 1,200 first. I think eventually gold will make its way back up. And I believe if you want to get into gold here, I think the best play is to buy some of the hard asset and put it in your house, or put it in your safe, because I think I want to own gold here. I don't think it's something that's going to jump up tomorrow. I think it's going to continue to try to churn in this range, but I do believe it put in a nice bottom at 1080. I think you want to watch 1100 and then watch the action between 1140, 1170, and then up to 1200. Then we'll see where it goes from there. But I think overall, long term, it looks like a good long play.
You know, it's interesting because gold was rebounding before what took place on Monday. So it was almost acting like a forecaster, Todd. But let's talk about China, which has really been driving markets. Investor confidence continues to be weak despite continued government easing. How do you see this situation unfolding?
Well, China's got a world of problems, and it should be obvious to everybody that because their banks have to keep intervening, that they have bigger problems than they're even letting on. I mean, you go back to what they have is what we call the hidden cities. I mean, they've never devalued those. They had them on their books at full value. They manipulated copper for years around that $3 level. Now copper is significantly lower. Their asset base is in real trouble there, and China itself is in real trouble, and they are scrambling to try to find the answer, and the answer is not by continuing to devalue and try this Keynesian view of economics by putting the problems off till later. The answer is to take it now and forget about it, but they won't do that. They're going to continue on the path of everybody else and try to devalue their currency and bring themselves out of it. But we know that that does not work. It has never worked. It's a lousy view of economics, and they've got major troubles here, and they're going to have to continue to liquidate. And I see China's markets melting down even further than they are right now.
Well, that said, would that help increase gold's safe haven bid?
You know, gold is right now, I think China actually is probably the biggest seller of gold right now. But I also think that silently, they're buying it in through the back. So I think they're selling it on the open market, but they're actually accumulating in the back door. But that is one of the reasons that we are seeing some pressure on gold, because I think they're being forced to openly liquidate on the market some of their position, pushing down the prices because they are one of the biggest holders.
All right, let's pull up a silver chart now. The metal hitting a six-year low, just getting crushed here this Wednesday. How do you see it set up here?
Well, I've liked silver. I still like silver. I think one of the big problems you're seeing now the difference between silver and gold, they're both considered in the precious metal category, but silver is also an industrial metal. And if as we've been saying for a year, that industrial is slowing down. So if we're slowing down, that only means that there's more pressure on silver right now because there's no need for silver right now. So what's happening is we're seeing extra pressure. Now, I believe that we've seen way too much pressure. I like silver here better than I like gold, only because A, it's easier to get into, it's cheaper. But I think that it's got a much bigger upside When it does turn around, I think it can actually double and triple. I mean, not tomorrow, but I think that you want to start accumulating some silver at these levels here, because I believe that eventually we're going to see production. Eventually, these markets are going to weigh through these troubles that they've caused. And silver at $13, yeah, we know it's been as low as $5. We know all the stories. But at this level, I wouldn't put my whole stake to work here, but I'd certainly be buying a little bit here and starting to accumulate some of it, because I think that it's a value play down here. And I do not see the commodity space staying in the tank for much longer.
All right, let's wrap here by talking about Jackson Hole. The markets are gearing up for the big meeting taking place here leading up into the weekend. Dudley this morning saying a rate hike for September is less compelling. Do you think the Fed will get it right in Jackson Hole?
No, I don't think the Fed has ever gotten it right. I don't think they're going to get it right now. And I think this is just another manipulative category in where they felt the markets were in trouble, so they felt they had to come out and make another statement. Doesn't that tell you that the Fed has no clue of where they sit right now and that they are totally debauching the entire economy because they don't know? Janet Yellen doesn't have the guts to step up and say, you know what, let the stock markets fall. We need to raise rates because we need to provide liquidity for the average guy. Now, I've said all along, rates are not going up until next year for sure. And the way they're going now, don't be surprised if they come out with some kind of QE4 program now, because really what they've done is they've totally butchered the entire economy. And we're seeing it play out throughout the globe because everybody's racing their currencies at the bottom, and we're seeing obviously a global meltdown throughout everybody.
All right, Bubba, thanks for speaking your mind. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Always great to be here, Daniela.
All right, and thank you for watching this edition of Kitco's Gold Report. We'll see you tomorrow.
So there I was, and of course, getting worked up. Of course, it's a good thing that I'm not a passionate young lad. I'm just a passionate old man. But again, I don't know what your thoughts are, but I certainly hate all the interventions that go on. I hate watching what they are doing to our economy. I hate what they're doing to the world, to the country. And, you know, I don't know about you, but quite frankly, I'm pretty sick of it. You know, I think that, you know, you end up in just a mess. And of course, you know, that's why we always want to make sure that you don't end up in a mess. And this goes for my farmer friends, my producer friends, those who have portfolios, even advisors. You know, we do a lot of consulting directly to advisors to help them advise their clients, because what we do works and it saves you and it protects you. And it's an unbelievable program that we are offering to only our people. And I hope that you reach out to me at Bubba at thebubbashow.org, because I'm telling you that I'm here and I want protection for you in these markets that are crazy right now and whipping around wildly. All we want to do is teach you to be, so we want to tuck you in every night safe and sound so that you don't have to worry about what's next. And don't you believe that that is the way for you? And I'm sure that you do, because nobody likes to lose money. Nobody wants to be under pressure, and nobody wants to have bad things happen to them. And again, I'm for you. The latest edition of the Bubba Report will be out this weekend. Certainly, if you're not getting it, you're making a mistake. For $99 a year, it's the best insight you will get from a couple of hundred years of experience in all the markets. Keith Bliss of You From The Floor, Scott Chalady from the CME, the Badger, 38 years in the business, myself, Bonnie Pittenger on real estate. You know, I'm just telling you that, you know, you get everything that you need to get to make you better and put you in a better way. Anyways, that will do it for today. This has been the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, I'm sure glad you were here, and I appreciate you, and we'll see you back here next time, same station, The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, have a great one, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll see you later.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk Events.